Verse 33, we're going to read all the way through to chapter 12, verse 2 tonight. Romans 11, 33. It's a great passage. Listen. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who was it first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, tonight, we've come to worship you. And Lord, I know that these could be anywhere doing anything, and yet, God, they've chosen to be here in this place to worship you. And Father, now as we continue to talk about worship and think about worship, God, would you just increase our capacity to worship you? You're worthy. God, would you challenge us tonight in our worship of you? God, teach us that it's much more than just what we do at a service. God, teach us it's our lives. You want our very lives to worship you. So God, bless this time, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our focus tonight is going to be Romans 12, 1 and 2, as we talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is worship. But you can't study Romans 12, 1 and 2 without going back to Romans 11, 33. You see, if you miss that section that comes right before it, you don't understand the reason for the therefore in verse 1 of chapter 12. The reason we worship God with the offering of our bodies and our minds and our wills is because God is rich and wise and great and glorious. We are to worship God because he is loving and merciful and full of grace. We are to worship him because God not only knows the future, he's the one who controls the future. That's why we're to worship God by giving ourselves totally over to him. Now, do you see how logical Paul is being here when he brings up this topic of worship? This is not some emotional appeal. He's not trying to get these people pumped up. Oh, if you've got one of those logical minds, then you've got to love Paul's argument. He's saying because we don't know the future, because we're so forgetful of the past, because we have no control over the future, the smartest thing we can do is to present our lives to the one who can and does, which is God himself. See, that's the logical response to all that God is and all that God has done for us. Therefore, Paul urges us, he beseeches us to worship God. Now, if you're a student of the Bible, and I know many of you here are, then you're going to be interested to know that this is the fourth time that Paul has used the word therefore in the book of Romans. Each one of these times marks the beginning of a very significant new thought. You might just want to go back and check these out quickly or note these down. The first therefore is the therefore of condemnation in chapter 3. Which declares the whole world guilty before God. The second, therefore, is the therefore of justification in Romans chapter 5, where God declares us righteous according to the finished work of Jesus on the cross. The third, therefore, is the therefore of assurance in Romans chapter 8, where Paul says there is therefore now what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The fourth, therefore, is the therefore of dedication or of worship, which we have in our passage tonight. Paul says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. So those are the four therefores in the book of Romans. And notice where they take us. They take us from condemnation to justification. From justification to assurance. From assurance to worship. That's the story of the book of Romans, isn't it? 11 chapters of all that God has done for us, and then 5 chapters of how we are to respond to what God has done. And really, the application comes down to this. We are to worship God. When you fully see and understand all that God has done for you, what else can you do but worship God? And so in chapter 12, Paul lays out what that worship should look like. Let me read this to you again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on Romans, breaks this section down like this. He says we're to worship God by giving him our bodies, by giving him our minds, and by giving him our wills. Now, I like that. So let's consider each one of those tonight, starting first with worshiping God by giving him our bodies. Now, I know that in some Bibles, they would translate verse 1 of chapter 12 by saying, we should offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. Maybe your Bible reads that way. But that is not the way it reads in the original Greek language. The word that Paul uses here is the Greek word soma, which always referred to the physical body. We are to give our physical bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Now, again, if you're a student of the Bible, this might strike you as being a little bit weird, because you know that Paul often uses the flesh, the physical body, to describe that part of us that is antagonistic to God. The flesh represents everything that keeps us away from God, being all that God wants us to be. So you might think that God would want anything but our flesh or our physical bodies, but that's not the case. God is very specific here. He says, worship begins as we bring our physical bodies to him. Now, what does your physical body represent? Why does God want your physical body? Well, our physical body represents the whole package of who we are. We are to give our bodies, and when we do that, we are offering all that we have and all that we are to him as a living sacrifice. You see, if you maintain possession of your body, all you're doing in worship is giving God access to your lives a couple of times a week when you come to a worship service or you do your devotions. But if we've given our bodies to God, we have given God the whole package of our lives, then worship can happen all day, every day, or at least it has the potential to happen all day, every day. So how do we worship God with our bodies? Well, basically, it comes down to this. We worship God with our bodies by using our bodies to glorify God instead of using them to do what we want to do. It's just that simple. Let me break it down a little bit for you here. Every time you say no to what your body wants you to do and yes to what God wants you to do, you sing God the most wonderful praise song that he's ever heard. You know, I have people tell me all the time that they don't worship God because they just don't have a great singing voice. And they're kind of embarrassed to sing out because people look at them funny. Maybe that's the way some people looked at you tonight as you're trying to sing along. And so they just kind of sit back and they don't worship. But you see, here's a way to sing God a praise song that requires no voice at all. It simply requires obedience. Every time you use your body to glorify him, it is pure, beautiful worship. I mean, this afternoon, when your body said, feed me and put me on the couch, and you said, no, I'm coming to church, you worship God. When your body says, you're too tired to pray, you're too tired to read the Bible, but you do it anyway, ooh, you worship God. When your body says, you don't have time to stop and help that person, but you do it anyway, you're using your body to glorify God. And that is pure worship. Every time you say no to what the body wants you to do and yes to what God wants you to do with your body, you are worshiping God. You've given your body to God as a living sacrifice. Now watch this. When Paul says we should present our bodies to God, he uses the aorist tense, which means it's a once and for all kind of thing. In other words, this is a one-time event that should have continuing results in your lives. Now, maybe for you, this giving of your body happened the moment that you were saved. When you were saved, you were radically saved, and you gave it all up to God. But for many of us, this has happened sometime afterward. It happened when we really discovered all that God had done for us. It happened when we really discovered the greatness of our salvation. It happened when we saw the greatness of our God, when all the pieces finally came together. All we could do was to worship. And in that, words were just not enough. And so we said, God, here's our lives. Take all that we are. Let this be our worship. We laid everything at his feet. Can you recall a time that you did that? Can you point to a place where you said, God, my life is no longer my own. I offer my body to you, a living sacrifice. You see, you should be able to do that. There should be an altar built in your life that you can look back to and say, that was the day. That was the day I gave it all to God. Now, if you haven't, tonight would be a great time to do that, wouldn't it? Maybe tonight's night, you're going to say, God, take my body. Take all that I am. Let it be a living sacrifice to you. And before we leave here tonight, we're going to have a time of worship at the end. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do just that, to present your body to God as a living sacrifice. Now maybe you're thinking, well, I'd like to do that, and certainly God is worthy of that, but maybe I'd better clean my body up a little bit before I present it to God. Well, here's the reality. The longer you stay in control of your body, the more messed up it's going to get. In fact, the only way to clean up your body is to offer it to God. With all of its shortcomings, its failures, its hang-ups, its perversions, you just bring them all to God, and he will make your body holy and acceptable. He will start a work on the inside that will make your body presentable on the outside. But first, you have to make that commitment to come and say, God, all that I am, starting with my body, belongs to you. You know, I hope you've done that, because you'll remain a carnal Christian until you do. Now, this is like the core of this church, isn't it? I know this is the family part. And so I'm going to tell it to you guys straight tonight. If you're having a struggle in your Christian life, and that struggle really comes back to carnality, here's the fact. You will remain a carnal Christian until you present your body as a living sacrifice to God. As long as your body and its appetites and desires can control you, you'll never move forward with God. It'll be one step forward and two steps back. For some of you, that describes your whole Christian life. But as soon as you give your body over to God, oh, you step into a whole new dimension, a whole new realm of spiritual living. It will blow your mind. To worship God, you have to present your body to him as a living sacrifice. That is your reasonable service of worship. Well, the next aspect of worship is giving our minds to God. In verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? of your mind. Now here again, we see the battle is for the mind. The world wants your mind, and God wants your mind. But did you catch the difference? It's so important. The world wants to conform your mind. God wants to transform your mind. The word that Paul uses here for conform literally means to shape with a mold. And that's exactly what the world wants to do. The world wants to put you into its mold so that you will think and act and respond according to its standards. It wants to immerse you in the spirit of the age. And it has some powerful tools to do that, doesn't it? It's got the media. It's got the music. It's got the celebrity spokespeople. It's got the movies. It's got the talk shows. And when you think about it, the world can squeeze you from almost every angle. It has so many ways to press us into its mold. And it will be relentless in its quest to do that. On the other hand, God wants to transform your mind by renewing it. The word that Paul uses here for transform is the same Greek word that's used in Matthew chapter 17 to describe what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, does that give you a clue as to what God is talking about here? On that mountain, the reality of who Jesus was on the inside couldn't be contained, and it spilled out into the outside. And see, that's the same thing that God wants to do with our minds. He wants to start a transformation process on the inside that will spill over into the way that you operate and the way you live. But see, notice, God always starts on the inside and he works his way out. Now, here's how God does that. He transforms our minds by renewing our minds. And how does God renew our minds? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that God sanctifies us and cleanses us by the washing of the water of the Word. See, God uses his Word to transform and to renew our minds. And here again, this is why spending time in the Word of God is so important. It's why hearing the Word of God taught is so important. Listen, when you take in the Bible, you are thinking the thoughts of God. That has an incredible impact upon your mind. So let me ask you a question here. Who has the greater access to your mind? Is it the world and the spirit of the age? Or is it the Holy Spirit through the Word of God? Sadly, most of us would have to admit that the world has more access to our minds than God does. And we wonder why we're so confused and disoriented and so messed up. Listen, if we're going to win the battle of the mind, then we have to keep ourselves in that place where the Word of God can do its work in our lives. And people, you can keep yourself in that place. The Word of God is accessible to you. You can understand it. You can know the Word. You can grow in the Word. But listen, you've got the mind of Christ. And therefore, the things of God are open to you. You've got the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. You know, it just bugs me when people tell me that they don't read the Bible because it's too hard and they just can't understand it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Listen, God has given to each one of you the most incredible mind. He has. Your brain is the most amazing thing. There will never be a computer built that even comes close to doing what your brain can do. Never. It has way more computing power than any computer that men will ever build. And I believe that the bulk of that computing power is designed to enable you to know God and to know His Word. I mean, God has given you a brain that under the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit can plumb the depths of God. But you know, most of us have become convinced that our minds just can't do that. Satan has sold us that lie. And so we use our minds to do our jobs and to balance our checkbooks and answer questions on who wants to be a millionaire. And you know what that's like? That's like having a Cray supercomputer and using it to play solitaire, Pac-Man and Donkey Kong 2. It's a waste of technology. Don't waste your mind. Bring it to God so He can transform it and renew it. Bring it to God as part of your worship of Him. If you do, He will give you the mind of Christ. And you will see as God sees. You will understand as God understands. You'll have His perspective from the beginning to the end. It's the most amazing thing. And let me add this. In verse 1, Paul uses the aorist tense when he tells us to bring our bodies to God. We're to do it once and for all with a continuous event happening in our lives because of it. But here in verse 2, Paul uses the present tense, which would indicate that this is something that we have to be constantly and consistently doing. See, worshiping God with your mind is a daily thing. It's a progressive thing. The more you do it, the better and more capable of doing it you're going to get. So, see, don't give up here. Just keep putting yourself in the place where the Word of God can get into you. And every time you do, you're giving God a chance to transform you and to renew you. And I guarantee you, it'll work. You know, back in the early part of the Calvary Chapel movement, back in the early 70s, late 60s, Chuck established a house for some of the guys that were getting saved. Most of the guys getting saved were kind of, you know, street people, hippies. They didn't have places to live. So Chuck moved them into this house where they'd be discipled. If they could work, they went to work and they kind of paid for their room and board. But a lot of these guys were just so wasted. Their minds were so gone. They couldn't even work. So you know what their job was? Chuck made them read the Bible 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. That was how they earned their room and board. Two of those guys were Mike McIntosh and Steve Mays. At that time, listen, their minds were so gone, they couldn't even get a job. But through the reading of the Word, God transformed. He renewed those minds, and those men have won thousands into the kingdom and touched the world for Christ. People, if you bring your mind to God as part of your worship of Him, He will transform your minds. He will renew your minds. And men, can I talk to you here just a second? I mean, you got to believe me on this one. The Word of God is not beyond you. You can understand it. You can know it. You can share it. And it starts with you just letting the Word of God sink into you. Give it a chance. Give the Word of God a chance. Bring your mind to God. Let Him transform it and renew it and see what God will do. It'll blow your mind. Okay? The last way we're to worship God is we're to bring God our wills. Paul says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this really is ultimate worship. Ultimate worship is doing the will of God. And by doing it, proving that the will of God is that good and acceptable and perfect. Now, before we get too deep into this, I want you to see the progression here. Some of you have already picked up on this. But notice where worship starts. Worship starts with our bodies. We bring our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. But what controls our bodies? It's our minds. You see, if you set your mind on worship, your body's going to follow because your mind controls your body. But what controls your mind? It's your will. And so really, the most important aspect of worship is right here. It all comes down to our wills. Real worship begins as we bring our wills to God. If that's true, then the ultimate worship session is found in Matthew chapter 26, where you have the account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know what's happening here. Jesus is before the Father, and He says, Father, if there be any other way that the human race can be saved from sin, apart from Me going to the cross and taking upon Myself the sin of the world, if there is any other way, then let this cup pass from Me. But the Father said, Son, there is no other way. And so what did Jesus say? Not My will, but Thy will be done. A second time, Jesus said, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from Me. The Father says there's no other way. And Jesus again said, not My will, but Thy will be done. A third time, Jesus in agony says, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from Me. And the Father says, Son, there is no other way. And so again, Jesus says, in pure worship, not My will, but Thy will be done. What this tells us is that there will always be a sacrifice that goes along with worship. The essence of that sacrifice is the setting aside of our will for God's will. And I don't know about you, but about 100 times a day, I have a chance either to do My will or to do God's will. And in that, it's at that point that I decide whether I'm going to be a worshiper or not. Team, I'll tell you, for me, this is for me. When I come into a place like this, and I got John, Annie, Barbara, leading worship, it's not hard for me to worship. I love to worship in that. It's at those points where it comes down to my will, where it's my will or God's will. That's where I prove if I'm a worshiper or not. That's where I prove if I'm a worshiper. If I'm not going to worship, listen, I just do what I want to do. But if I'm going to worship, I set aside my will and say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. And this is where I think prayer is so important. And Annie brought this up. First of all, because it's prayer that helps us to determine the will of God. You know, if you're ever stymied and think, God, what is your will here? Just stop and ask him. God, show me your will. Oh, you'll be amazed at what he shows you. But then it's also prayer that enables us and empowers us to do the will of God. See, the object of prayer is not to convince God to do our will, but to conform us and to empower us to do his will. And I can guarantee you that will happen every time. And here's the best part of all. When we do God's will, we discover. No, it's even more than that. We actually prove that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, I'm not just talking about in principle here. I'm talking your very life. Your very life proves that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, I've yet to meet a person who did the will of God and said, that was a bummer. Oh, that was bad. That was unacceptable. That was flawed. Now, granted, sometimes when we step out in faith and do the will of God, it's not obvious to us it's good. We don't see it right away. But as time goes by, we look back and we say, oh, the will of God. It's good. It's acceptable. It's perfect. Ultimate worship is bound up in bringing our wills to God. So there you have it. If you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, here's what you need to do. First, we have to bring to God our bodies as a living sacrifice. We have to give God the whole package of our lives. We have to make a choice to glorify God with our bodies. We offer them to him as a living sacrifice. Then we bring our minds to God. And as we bring our minds to God, here God will renew and transform our minds by the washing of the word. And then we bring our wills to God in ultimate worship, where we're saying, not my will, but thy will be done. And in this, we prove that the will of God is good, it's acceptable, it's perfect. See, that is our reasonable service. That's the most logical and spiritual thing that you can do. And by doing that, oh, you become a worshiper of God, not just on Wednesday nights, not just on Sundays. But you become a worshiper 24/7. And people, I'm telling you, there is nothing greater than that. What's the Father looking for? He's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So tonight, I want to just take some time to worship. And I can't think of a better couple to lead us than John and Annie in that. And as we worship, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to this. So would you guys come? Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for your word, what it teaches us, and Lord, how it takes us to a depth that's beyond what we could ever get to on our own. Lord, we could think of a lot of different things that worship could be, but here, God, you've broken it down for us. You said, here's where it starts. It starts with giving you our bodies. In fact, really just all that we are. It's that willingness to say, God, I want my body to glorify you. When my body wants to do one thing and I know that your spirit's saying, doing something else, do this. Or don't go there. Or even if the spirit just says, hey, take your body and go do this. Lord, that's where worship begins. Saying, I'm going to use my body to glorify God. And Lord, there may be some here tonight that have never done that. There's not an altar that marks your life where they said, this was the day, this was the night. And Lord, if so, I would pray that for many here, this would be the night. This would be the night that they would build that altar and they would crawl upon it with their physical body and say, God, my body belongs to you. Lord, that's radical. And I know what that means for many people. It's a step away from being a carnal Christian. It's a step away from being a marginal Christian. It's that step where we cross over and say, God, all that we have is yours. And then, God, you want us to bring us our minds in worship. And Lord, so many think worship is some emotional thing. And yeah, there's an emotional side to it, but really it's our minds. It's that capacity to worship you. And Lord, for that, our minds need to be renewed and transformed. And Father, that happens through your word. And Father, I know that there are many here tonight, they've bought into the lie of the enemy, that their minds can't understand the word of God. Their minds can't truly comprehend you and therefore worship you as you really should be worshipped. Father, I pray you'd break down that lie of the enemy tonight. You'd demolish it in our hearts and minds. And Father, I particularly pray over the men here tonight in regards to this. I know this was a huge stumbling block for me. God, do something here where we realize we can bring our minds to you. You will renew them and transform them. And then, Father, lastly tonight, I pray that we think about worshiping you with our wills. Lord, this is ultimate worship. A sense of saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. And Lord, there are many of us here tonight, I know, that walk with you with one foot in our will and one foot in your will. And really, most of the time, it's 2 feet in our will, and we just kind of step to your will wherever it's convenient. And God, you're saying, you can do that, but that's not worship. That's not worship. And God, you're calling us tonight to a depth of worship. You're calling the core of this church to a depth of worship. And it really comes down to our will. So, Father, I would pray tonight that as we would spend some time worshiping you, that by your Spirit, you'd move. You'd just move in a wonderful way in our lives, in this church. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.